My great pleasure, my great delight to introduce our guest speaker today. I first encountered Pastor John Hester about 8 months ago when I took the kids to a retreat at the Potomac District campgrounds in Falling Waters, West Virginia. And I was immediately impressed by the anointing on this man. And it wasn't long after that I had that initial impression that he was up ministering and there were children all over the place, all horizontal. And the anointing was just so heavy there. There were some children that were just there who were just praying for over an hour in the Spirit. It was so wonderful to see. And then later on, where there was he had an impartation upon these children, and then he turned the children around and had them start to lay hands on people. And through the power of the Holy Spirit working through these little ones, people were healed. It was so impressive. And then, of course, to have some time with him over this weekend, he ministered to some of us on Friday and Saturday. And I've had occasion to have dinner with him a couple times and to just see the faith in this man and the humility and how the Spirit is moving in him. He's going to come to minister to us. After that, we're going to have a special offering to bless him. But I encourage you to stay, because after that is when the neat stuff's going to happen. He's going to lay hands on the children, special blessing upon the children. And then he's going to turn them around to minister and to bless us. So with that, I want to welcome Pastor John Hester. Please stand and welcome him.
Yeah, I'm on, but we have a testimony. How's everybody this morning? How many of you have your Bibles with you? Who has a palm in here today? I would like to see. Two? This is really starting to take over in the church. I was reading Leonard Sweet, and he says that in times past, people used to pass out tracts to individuals, and people would read them because they were books and people didn't have them. He said, nowadays, what we have to do is we have to download the Bible on palms and pass these out to individuals. So I'm kind of looking for those that are passing them out, because I need a new one. It is such a joy to be with you this morning. God is doing so many wonderful things. We've had serious miracles take place. We've had some incredible healings. I'd like to thank you for allowing me to minister this weekend. There was a lot of information that went forward, and if you'd like to get a hold of it, I think they taped it, so you guys can get a hold of that. I really believe that we are moving into an incredible time amongst the children and the youth. And Prophet Bobby Connor, who I heard was here, and I wish I would have known, because I probably would have driven here to see him, prophesied recently that children were the key. And when I say children, I'm learning that in the North, that means anybody from cradle to 19. So young people, if you're in here, I'm not going to say youth every time I say children, because I'm going to have to take a glass of water every 5 minutes. So I'm just going to say children, and that includes you, and I apologize if that offends you in any way, shape, or form. Amen? I can say young people, I guess. But God is getting ready to pour His Spirit out in such a great way. And we had two incredible experiences just this weekend. There were Providence, and I'd like to call, I believe, the first one up. I want to get this right, because I promised her she could be second. I'd like to ask Caitlin to come forward. She came to me this morning and said, well, I have an opportunity to testify. I said, absolutely. So I'd like you to listen to Caitlin's testimony.
Good morning. It was so neat on Friday. I work at Lone Star. I'm a waitress. And I was double shifting that day, starting the second shift. Go up to my first customer, take their drink order, come back, deliver it. And one of the gentlemen looks at me and says, this is wrong. And right about that time, as he starts telling me about how his drink is made wrong, something really weird happened. It was just instantaneous. The room started spinning. I lost all focus. I couldn't figure out what he was saying to me. I couldn't concentrate on anything. I mean, I've never been drunk. I've never felt like fainting, so dizzy I felt like fainting before, but it was kind of like those sensations, like just totally nauseous. And I was trying to concentrate on what he was telling me. I was trying to figure out how to fix his drink, and I couldn't communicate it to the lady who was making the drinks. Finally got it straightened out. He had to actually walk me over to her and explain to her what was going on. I kept trying to serve him and my other people, and eventually my manager approached me and said, "Caitlin, you need to speed things up here." And by that point, I couldn't even finish a complete sentence. I couldn't. I was looking at her, and I was saying, I can't speed up, just trying with all my might just to focus on her and what I was doing. So she said, "Do you need to go home?" And I said, "Probably." I called up a friend, sat there and waited for her to show up. She's so nice. Drove me home, sat there, conked out, checking my email. And Cindy actually said to me, Cindy Peters said, "Hey, want to go to the church tonight?" Because I had actually forgotten that Pastor Hester was here. And we were thinking about the watch. We drove over and caught the tail end of that night's ministry. And he was saying, "You know, is there anyone else left who wants to be prayed for?" I had just staggered into the church, and I was sitting about halfway up. And I believe Mike was looking at me because I hadn't come up to be prayed for. I couldn't even focus. I couldn't do anything. He came up to me afterwards and said, "Why didn't you come up?" And I tried to explain it to him, and I couldn't. He called Pastor Hester over. Pastor Hester called Michael Wallace over, and they all started praying for me. And the first thing that happened was Mike laid his hands on my ear, because from what I explained, he thought maybe it was an inner ear thing, and it was very weird. Here's one new way the Holy Spirit moves. It's like a spider running all across my ear, the side of my head, and went all around. And he said I did the strangest thing. I just went, because I couldn't handle it. It was the weirdest feeling. Mike had kept on praying for me, and it was just boom. The healing was instantaneous. I was shaking. I was so unsteady, but it was the Spirit in me. All of a sudden, I was finishing my sentences. It was just amazing. I couldn't believe it. I would have jumped up if it weren't for the fact that I was shaking so much for the Spirit in me. Well, and I am so glad, too, because I didn't have to go to the hospital.
Which, it's always a plus. I had occasion to speak to Caitlin the next morning. She called the church as we were getting ready for the day's events yesterday. And I said, "Well, how are you feeling, Caitlin?" She said, "Tired and normal." I said, "So just normal?" And she said, "Yes." So.
Thank God.
Caitlin, thank you.
We had an individual yesterday. We did not have a time of prayer for individuals, but two of the children that I brought in from Virginia, they met with the lady yesterday, and she's going to testify with you about what God did. And this is Julia. You all know her. I just met her. Amen. And I want to say something before I begin. Children, this is a message for you, not just your parents. So if you're wandering around, you need to find a seat with your mom and dad, because you need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying this morning. If you have coloring books, go ahead and put them away, because I want to preach a message to you just as much as I want to preach a message to your parents. Julia?
Well, I had sort of forgotten what yesterday was all about, but I decided I would much rather come to the house of God with God's people than stay home alone. So I came, and then I remembered it was for the, basically for the children, and I still thought, "Oh, well, why am I here?" But it was just wonderful. Everything that was said was wonderful. And when they called up, you know, asked if you wanted to come up for prayer, up I came. I don't remember why. I hate those words. And these young people were ministering. No adults. And this precious girl came up to me and touched me, and over I went. And I haven't done that in a long time. I've resisted it because it doesn't feel very good, and it's hard to get up. But she prayed for me, and I laid there for quite a while. And then after a while, I got up and sort of staggered back to my seat. And I want to put in parenthesis It's such a pity that so few people were here. And you probably know this was a ministry for the children. And Chris and Ken and the kids were out of town, and I was so sorry they weren't here. But anyhow, so I went and I sat back down, and hardly anybody was left, and this precious young girl, Brooke, came over. She was the one who had prayed for me. And she came over and started talking to me and asked me how I was. And I said, well, I'm still a little drunk in the Lord, but I think I'm fine. And then her friend, or I think she was her sister.
Her friend, Rachel.
Rachel, yeah. And they were just so dear and so attentive. And they said, is there anything we can pray for you? Do you need any healing? I think that's what they said. And I said, well, sure, my back. I said, it's hurt for 30, and I thought, probably 40 years. And sure, if you want to. And they said, well, can we pray for you? And they both lay hands. I leaned forward, and they both put their hands on me and prayed for me. And I felt something wonderful, but oh, ye of little faith, I didn't know quite what it was. And when I stood up, I was fine. I was fine. I got out of bed this morning and walked to the bathroom without just, just aches and pains and this. Amen. Isn't God great?
Oh, yeah.
And little children. Hallelujah. I think that's all.
Just the beginning of what God is really getting ready to do in our midst. Even here at Patuxent River Assembly of God, God is really getting ready to pour His Spirit out. Friday night as we came together just to worship, the Spirit of God was so strong at the front. It was so good. It was almost like being welcomed by Him. You know, He was welcoming me here, and He's here this morning. So let's go ahead and begin. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 10, beginning with verse 7. I have a message for you this morning entitled Stepping Out of the Boat. This is a special message because I believe that each and every one of us, we have to get out of a place we are and step into a place that God desires for us to be so that each and every one of us can begin to move in signs, wonders, and miracles. Because I don't believe that that is just for a select few. I think God has called each and every one of us to do that. And I spoke about it Friday. We are missing opportunities every day to show the world the power of God. And we have programs like Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Harry Potter and Pokemon. And all of these things that are happening are drawing our children into the world of the occult. They're drawing them into a world of the supernatural. There's a hunger within them for the things of the supernatural. A hunger that God placed within them. And if they're not fed in our churches, they're going to go look for it somewhere else. I know I did. At the age of 12 and 13, I was involved in Wicca, and I was looking for it in other places. I did not see it in my church. And at the age of 16, God saved me. He said, if you serve me, I will show you my power. I said, I'll do it. I'll take the test. I'll take the challenge. I'd like you to do me a favor if you stretch forth your hands toward me and repeat after me. Say, Father, this morning, we release John in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask you to speak through him. Impart to our children and to our youth what they need to be the mighty warriors of God that you've called them to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Beginning of verse 7, it says, go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cure those with leprosy and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. This is a call that began 2,000 years ago and it has not ended. God continues to call us each and every day to go. I told him Friday that I did a very deep study of this word go in the Greek. And you'll be amazed at what it means. It means to go. Pure and simple. So this call has not ended. But many of us are at a place where we can't seem to get ourselves from here to there. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. The disciples have just witnessed Jesus feeding the 5,000 plus women and children. And they are now in a boat and they're headed out towards the middle of the water, beginning with verse 22. Immediately after this, Jesus made his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After he went up into the hills by himself to pray, night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had arisen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him, they screamed in terror, thinking he was a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once. "It's all right," he said. "I am here. Don't be afraid." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you by walking on the water." "All right, come." Now, can you imagine what's going on in this boat right about now? Here is the disciples. They have just seen Jesus do an incredible miracle and use them to bring it to pass. They passed out the bread. That's about the brunt of what they did. And he's trying to teach them lessons, isn't he? He's trying to disciple them. He's trying to bring their faith to a level where they can start doing greater exploits. And somebody got a hold of that lesson. And they are out in this boat, and you know the story that if a sailor saw a ghost, it meant they were going to die. So they think that here comes this ghost, we're dead, we're all out of here. So Jesus says, "No, it's okay, it's just me." And Peter says, "Well, Lord, if it's you, call me to you." And so we have a promise from God that if he calls us to do something, he's going to equip us to do it, isn't he? He's going to give us what we need to do it. And what we need to accomplish, what God is calling us to do, is the gift of the Spirit. And I spoke about that Friday and I spoke about that yesterday. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. But I want you to understand that God is equipping us for the work of the ministry. He has called your apostle here so that he can equip you for the work of the ministry. And the Holy Spirit is here this morning to equip each and every one of you, especially the children and the youth. You know, Peter is being challenged here to get out of his comfort zone. That boat is comfortable. That boat is safe. I remember fishing out in the Gulf of Mexico, and the captain, he was a Christian, and, you know, we'd have a lot of unsaved people on the boat, and he would say, "Listen, I'm going to increase everybody's faith right now. How many of you have faith to believe this boat's going to float all day long?" And not one hand would stay down. Everybody, "Yeah, I got faith to believe that, brother. I believe this boat's going to float." So Peter is sitting in a safe position, isn't he? If he gets out of the boat, what's going to happen to him? He's going to sink. He sinks. So God right now is challenging our faith. He's challenging us to get out of our comfort zones. He's challenging us to get out of that place where we feel just so comfortable and so complacent. Well, it's safe here, and if I take that step of faith, it may not work. And I'll look foolish, and God will look foolish, and somebody will lose their faith. But you know what? The end product is God's. Jesus told Peter, "Get out of the boat." Can you imagine what's going on with the disciples around him? What do you think his friends are telling him? "Are you crazy? You can't do that. People do not walk on water, Peter. You've been a fisherman all your life. People do not walk on water. Jesus, he can do it. He's the Son of God. He's the miracle worker. But what do you think you're going to do?" Now, Peter has to decide, what voice is he going to listen to? We have to make a decision. What voice are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to the voice of the Word of God? Or are we going to listen to all those voices around us telling us, "That's foolish. Why are you doing that? That's stupid. Why are you getting out and doing that? Why are you trying to get people saved? They don't want to hear it. They don't care." We have to decide what voice we're going to listen to. I have a philosophy. I had a lot of people a long time ago tell me, "What if it doesn't work?" Well, I live by a different philosophy. What if it does? When I pray for people, I don't say, "Well, Lord, it may not work." I say, "Lord, this may be the day." We were in Virginia, and I have been praying for this for I don't know how long. And there was a young man in there. He had hurt his foot. He could not. He was on crutches. He was unable to run around and goof off with the rest of us. And he came to the meeting the third night of the meeting, and I went and laid hands on him. I just prayed. I said, Lord, just fill him with your spirit. And I walked away to do something else. We had some really neat things happen over here on this side of the stage. And when I walked back, the crutches were laying against the chair, and he was gone. I went, where's Michael? They said, oh, he walked out. I said, what? He did what? He walked out. No way. I mean, yes way. You know, I believe. And here comes Michael running in. He was running on the foot, man. He was doing stuff on the foot. Because I refused to listen to my voices saying, what if it doesn't work? And I said, what if it does? What if this is the day? And that boy received his healing. In Potomac, we had a girl healed of scoliosis. Does anybody know what that is? Curvature of the spine, man. She was healed of scoliosis that night. God desires to pour out His Spirit on us, not to glorify us, but so that His people may receive a blessing, a deliverance. Two of your own this weekend received from God through the children. And it doesn't end there. Peter had to make a decision. Do I trust the Lord or do I listen to what my friends are saying? Thankfully, Peter decided that he was going to trust the Lord. God is calling us to take a step of supernatural faith. You know, there are two types of believers. Those who do things for God and those who watch others do things for God. I'm of the first group. I have to do it. I'm frightened. I'm actually fearful that I'm going to miss what God is doing. We had a young girl in one of our meetings, and she had a vision from the Lord that one night. And she said she saw a crystal castle. And she said on the inside were all these young people doing things for God. And she said she noticed that on the castle, the crystal castle, there were no doors into it. And there were all these people on the outside trying to get in, and they could not get in. And what the Lord showed us that night was those that desire to be a part are going to be a part. And it's going to happen to the point where those that say, well, I'll wait till tomorrow, I'll wait till next week, I'll wait till I'm ready, it's going to be too late. And children and young people, you need to understand today is your day. Today is your day to move in the gifts of the Spirit and to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to operate in the word of knowledge today. You're going to get words about people in this congregation having to deal with certain situations, physical ailments, emotional ailments, relationship ailments. You are going to learn how to hear the voice of God and minister to the people in this congregation. You know, the boat was safe beneath his feet. It's so interesting. C.S. Lewis said that God has to drive us out of our nursery. He has to get us out away from our toys and the world of, he has to drive us into the world of men. And Jesus is calling each and every one of us to get out of our comfort zone. We have a choice to make. Here's Peter. Everybody's, you know, they're all talking to him. I know they never shut up. I'm sure they're constantly saying, now look at the wind, look at the waves. And Peter decides, you know what? You guys keep talking. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. Jesus told me to get out on the water. I can walk on water. So Peter gets out and he's, you know, I'm sure he, okay, that seems pretty. Jesus, stay there. Okay, cool. That'll work. You know, I'm sure this is what's happening. Because I wouldn't have just, you know, let them and, whoo, all right, I'm going to Jesus, you know. I would have taken my time, too. They're still talking behind him. So there's Jesus. Okay, I'm going to do this. Cool, I'm on water. Okay. Jesus, stay where you are. That's cool. Just stay. Okay, I'll come to you. Don't come to me. All right. Now, the whole time this is going on, what's happening? All those voices are in his head. All those voices are in his head. He's been listening to them. You've been listening to voices for years. You know what? If Hank Hanegraaff comes on your radio, turn it off. He'll kill your faith so fast it's not even funny. I had some young people ask me, why don't you call in? I said, I have nothing to say to him. I turn him off. He won't listen to me. We'll agree to disagree agreeably, you know, and I don't have time to waste on that. So he's keeping his eyes on Jesus. You need to do the same thing. If Jesus said you could do it, keep your eyes on that. And so have you ever noticed that it says that that Peter began to sink? Have you ever begun to sink? You have. When you step in the water, you kind of slowly. When I jumped into a pool, I'm sorry. When I jumped into a pool, I go, sploosh. I'm in there, you know. If I step off my boat, it's just one step and I'm in there. Peter begins to slowly sink. And I think there's a reason for that. If you look at your word, it says that he got his eyes on the waves and he got his eyes on the sea and he was listening to the voices and he started looking at everything else but the promise. So he starts to sink. And I think God has given him a chance right there. Get your eyes back on Jesus and I think he would have risen back up. The next thing he does is what? Jesus, I'm drowning here. So Jesus just walks up and says, oh, Peter, get up here. You know? And as you notice, they walk together back to the boat. You know, Peter was like, you know, Jesus, I'm so sorry. Maybe next time I can do it. You know? They walk together back to the boat. Even in his failure, Jesus stayed by his side. And I know Jesus was encouraging him the whole time. You know what? All you had to do is keep your eye on me. And you know what Peter's saying? You know, if you give me another chance, I can do it. I can do it if you give me another chance. Now, watch this. He gets in the boat, and what is the first thing that they say? I told you so. I told you you couldn't walk on Peter. I mean, good coffee. I told you you couldn't walk on water, Peter. But you know what Peter can say? At least I tried. There's nothing worse to live with than regret. There's nothing worse to live with than regret. And I bet every disciple in there was going, man, I should have tried. I mean, he walked on water. No, he didn't. He sank. No, he walked on water, man. I saw him. He got up with Jesus and they walked together. You understand, we could have done that if we had just gotten out of the boat. He said, get out of the boat. We could have walked on water, man. And what I'm challenging you today, young people, is that when the call comes forth, you get out of the boat. You forget what your friends have said. You forget what people have told you about who you are. You forget about all that. You are the most important thing in the kingdom of God. Did you know that, young people? His disciples thought they were so smart. I love his disciples. They walk up to Jesus one day and they say, Jesus, who's the most important in the kingdom of God? You know, and I'm sure John's like me. Because I'm so loving. You know, and Peter's like, well, shoot, now I'm the leader. Me. And what does Jesus do? He grabs a child. He says, this is the most important in the kingdom of God. You know why? Because if I tell an adult, I'm coming to your house with a present at 5 o'clock. Where do you think that adult's going to be? Click, click. Watching television, cooking dinner, fixing something. But if I tell the child, I'm coming to your house, I'll be there at 5 o'clock, and I'm going to have a present for you, where is that child going to be? They're going to be at the door. And you better not be late. You're a minute late. What is the deal? And see, God can use that kind of faith to turn a world right side up. That's why God talks about the children so much. Because he can use them. They're willing to believe whatever they are told. Because nobody, hopefully, is telling them the opposite. In just a few minutes, we're going to have a time of impartation. Children and young people, hear me well. The call is going out. You are the key. If you do not do what you are supposed to do, I cannot do what I'm supposed to do. Bobby Connor, I'm going to end with this and turn it over to Pastor for a second. Bobby Connor had a vision. How many of you have ever had a thought from the Lord and you just really wanted to know it was from God? For years, I have been preaching this message that I'm preaching to you about the children and the youth being the key. And one day I got on my computer and popped up the Elijah list, and there was Bobby Connor. And he said that he was given a vision by the Lord, and he was placed on a plane, and he saw a cornerstone. And he said the Lord told him to move it in place. And he looked around, and there was no machinery. He had no nothing to move it, just his bare hands. He said, "Lord, I can't do this." And all of a sudden, children and youth began to come out of everywhere. And in their hand was a leather bag. And they began to tug on his pants. They began to poke at him. He goes, "Listen, I don't have any time for children's games right now." And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, "You listen to these." So he grabbed the bag. And when he opened it, were marbles in the bag. And the Holy Spirit said, "Throw them down in front of the stone, and you and the children can move this stone into place." And when they moved the stone into place, it moves very, very easily. And then everybody else began to put stones on top of that stone and became a living stone. And what God has said is that the children are the key to what He is getting ready to do. The children and the youth are the key. We need to nurture. We need to encourage our children to serve God with all of their hearts. Parents, if you feel guilty because you don't let your children do certain things that their friends are doing, don't feel guilty any longer. Because there is a world out there that is training their children for everything but God. And God is calling us to train our children in God, leaving everything out. Because if this revival is going to come, it's going to come because they rise up and begin operating in the power and the presence of God. Pastor?
Do you hear the message? See, this is right in harmony with what we have been practicing for a long time. Now, John came to us on Mike's recommendation, and we didn't know him. But you get a sense of his spirit and passion as he shared this morning. He's here to help us help our children become ministers for life. Don't you wish somebody had gotten a hold of you when you were 8, 9, 10 years old? Where would you be today? We have that opportunity. Now, John carries this message like a flame from the Lord. Now, let me remind you of my deal with God. From 3 John, I want to read you some verses and remind you of our history. I think it's beginning in verse 5. Dear friend, you're faithful in what you're doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They've told the church about your love, and you'll do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, so that we may work together for the truth. And when the Lord made that real to me years ago, it had to do with our investment in the kingdom outside of ourselves. And so I told the Lord when we were, 40 and no more, that if He would remember us in this, at the time, faraway place, we now have two roads in. Back then we had one. That we would send these people on their way, glad that they came. So through the years, the Lord has been gracious to keep us connected with what's going on in the body of Christ. It's just amazing to me, the relationships that we've developed with that group of what's happening now people through the last couple of decades. You know what I'm saying? God has not overlooked Prague in the apostolic and the prophetic and the other signs and wonders things that are going on in the earth. And somehow or another, His grace has reached us, and we are participating in things internationally that we shouldn't have any access to at all. And so this morning, we're going to receive an offering for John and the flame that he bears. And we're going to bear witness with it in our spirits because it's part of what we are doing, what we are becoming. And then in moments from now, we're going to turn the children loose to minister the anointing. Won't that be exciting? So get your eyes full. Keep the cameras rolling. Gentlemen, if you'll come, we want to receive this offering. While they're doing that, I want to remind you of what we learned last week. I'll say the first part. You say the second part. Drugs are good. There you go. Now, those of you that don't have a clue what we're laughing about, we invite you to get the tape from last Sunday morning. This communication is a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Need the worship leader. This is my favorite part of a weekend. Wherever I go, this is what it's all about. And children and young people, I'm calling you right now. If you desire to move and operate in the gifts of the Spirit and the power of God, I'm calling you forward. I'm challenging you to get out of your boat of comfort, of childhood, and to come forward and to let the Holy Spirit use you to touch not only this church, but people on the outside of this church. It's no good if we just use it here. We have to use it everywhere. So if you're here this morning and you desire to be used by God, then I call you forward now. Come stand shoulder to shoulder with Joshua. Micah, come here. Stand up here. Turn around. You that are coming, make sure there's room in front for me to walk. Because I won't be on stage very long. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to understand that I want you up here because it's your desire to be used. Not your parents, not your friends. I don't want you up here if you're here because your friend is up here. I want you up here because you desire to be used by God in these last days. Mike, we can move her over. Back up just a little bit. Now, what I want you to do, children, and you, we're going to sing a song for you. What I want you to do is, we are going to sing a song. And the reason we're doing this is because we want to focus our mind. We don't want to be thinking about the person to our left and to our right. We don't want to be thinking about the person behind us. We want to concentrate and receive from the Holy Spirit. So as we sing, if you know it, close your eyes and worship. If you do not, read the words and worship. But let this be a prayer from your heart. For this is a song that the Holy Spirit honors. There is such an anointing on this song. And when you sing it, He's going to come. He's going to come. Take your hands out of your pocket. Amen. Prepare to receive from the Lord. Let's sing. You guys worship too. Okay?
Jesus, Spend your time until you know the Holy Spirit is done. You know how to do this.
and so do you. Amen? Let's go. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, just release your anointing right now. Father, just release your anointing. There he is. Just receive. Those of you that have been prayed for, begin to pray and ask the Lord to show you somebody or a situation, give you a name, because we're getting ready to move into the second phase of the impartation, the time of activation. Thank you.